Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Alicia Live Radio Show. I'm your host, Alicia Jefferson Riley, and it's good to be back with you live on the air. As you know, I've taken a couple of weeks off. I've been involved in some other projects, but, you know, it's nothing like being with my Blog Talk Radio, Alicia Live audience, being able to feel you, to talk to you, to vibe with you, and talk about the wonderful things that are going on, and also some of the things that are hitting our news cycle as well. So I miss you, and I hope that you are happy to have me back. So today it's going to be free form, and we're going to be talking about a lot of things. So get your tea, get your coffee, get your iced tea, whatever your beverage of choice is, and buckle down with us for the next hour or so. As always, I say that I always pray that the sun is smiling down on you and the wind is at your back, propelling you into your destiny, whatever you feel is that your chosen path is. Make those steps. Go straight into it. It's all about purpose. It's all about getting what you need done so that you can live and walk in purpose. Well, I want to say hello to all of my social media partners, Twitter, MySpace, LinkedIn, Dig, StumbleUpon, and, of course, Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for listening in. And all of you are listening in from wherever, whatever corner of the earth that you are, because the Internet has made a round world flat. So with the medium of social media and the Internet, you can definitely tune on anywhere in the world, and I hope that you are doing just that. Well, tonight I have a returning guest, and I'm really glad to always have this brother on the line on the show with me. And he's always comes with so much information, so much history, so much knowledge. And he's just, what can I just say about my brother Keith Benson? You know him of a, I don't want to say legendary, but yeah, he's definitely a legendary drummer with the legendary group that was on Philadelphia International Records, as we all know as MFSE, and of course he has worked on several projects, musical projects, with Philadelphia International Records, and as well as other artists as well. But mostly this brother here is holding it down in the community. And has, you know, he's worked in, as an educator. He's written a book. He is a contributing writer for different news publications and also his own blog. He's holding it down. He's holding it down and doing some wonderful, wonderful things in the community. And he's getting these young people straight. He's teaching them knowledge coming with history, because you can't go forward not unless you know where you came from. And he's definitely given them the history behind what is going, the history behind our ancestry. Our reason of being, where we came from, and where we are now. So I'm really always glad to have him on the show. He is just like it always comes with knowledge. So this is kind of like I said to him. I said, "Hey, this is going to be Express Yourself Sunday." Because there has been so much in the news cycle that I have been itching to get to talk to you guys about. I want to hear from you. And I posted a couple of things on Facebook, and y'all went, wow. I mean, I sure hope that you call in and express yourself, because We definitely had some dialogue on Facebook and on Twitter about some of the things that have been going on in the news, and I wanted to bring this in on the show and give you an opportunity to do just that, express yourself, talk about what you feel, what's going on in the news, be it Trump, be it the election, the many police-involved shootings that have plagued us, whatever it is, we're here to talk about it. I want you to call us up, 909-265-9195, and express yourself today. We're here to talk to you. So, without further ado, I just want to bring my brother, I said my brother from another mother, in on, Mr. Keith Vinson. Where's my clap at? All right, here we go.
How are you?
Hey, Keith, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to be here. Good to be talking with you about some real issues, about what's going on with our people. I love to do it. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you know, I always love having you on. You know, and without your written bio, you know, I had to rely on memory. But you know what? You, like, oh my goodness, you're a legend in your own times. I just won't call you legendary because you're really not that old.
Well, it's okay. I don't mind.
I didn't want to call you legendary, but you are a legend in your own time. You know what I mean?
Well,
you've been putting it down for a while.
I just work hard.
Ways.
Yeah, I just love my people. I want to see them do well. I just work hard, and I'm gonna keep working hard till a guy calls me home. That's all.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of work out there, so it's a lot to do. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. As Bert tell us, but there is just so much going on, so much going on. Well, first of all. Let's just get right into it. You know, I put a couple of posts out there on Facebook, and Lord have mercy, it got everybody all riled up. And my question was, what got you riled up this week? What's the news cycle that has you riled up? So, you know, Keith, I'm going to ask you, what has you riled up in the news cycle this week? Or, I mean, what's going on that you want to express yourself?
Well, you know, I always have the same issue, but I'll talk about the Trump issue. Let's put that to bed real quick. Trump is supposedly the new model, the new revision 3.0 or 8.0, whatever his new group is, and he's talking about reaching out to black people. He says, what do you got to lose? Well, so we don't belabor that point. Just take a look at his Supreme Court list. He put out 11 people that he'd have on the Supreme Court. All of them make Clarence Thomas look like Thurgood Marshall. I think we could put that whole Trump issue to bed just with that. There's really no more need for any discussion beyond that. As far as what I'm doing, it's always the same thing. I have a website called thepeacemovement.org, and its tagline is All Solution, All the Time. And we discuss history there not so people can go back and find out what happened, because that's really irrelevant. What's really going on is, if you want to understand today, if you want to be effective today, if you want to win today, if you want to be clear-headed today, you have to know how we got here. So that's my push. You know, I let my young people know when I talk to them, I'm not trying to bore you with something that happened 500 years ago, because you like saying, man, I'm trying to get straight on today. But what I'm trying to explain to them, and most of them get it, you will never get straight on today unless you know how we got here. But once you know how we got here, today becomes very, very easy. So that's my work and my focus with kids right now. So I wanted to put Donald Trump to bed real quick. You also you mentioned Marion Jones, how they treated her as opposed to how they're treating these other athletes for the same infraction, lying to authority.
Lockheed lied to authority. Before we go to Marion. Yeah, before we go to Marion and the Olympics, because I want to kind of, like, talk about this here Trump issue. Okay, like you said, all right, he has now had a major upset in his campaign. His campaign manager, Manafort, we know that we all knew that that indictment was going to come down. Well, not indictment, but those charges were going to come down on him because of if his dealings with the Russians, okay,
mm-hmm.
And mishandling of campaign funds, mishandling of some funds, but also the shakeup. It's not just him, but some the three major people that's been shaken up in the whole Trump, what do you say, campaign. All right, now
mm-hmm.
We have this new Trump 2.0. Who comes out
this
and gives us a watered-down apology.
This is the mm-hmm. This is the fifth one. Kellyanne Conway,
I think it's the fifth one.
She's definitely number three. Manafort, he replaced Lewandowski. Lewandowski was first, Manafort
right.
was the second, and
right.
Kellyanne Conway is the third.
Right, exactly. At least, right. So there's an,
yeah.
I mean, his campaign has never been stable from the beginning, from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
all right, there's always been issues there. Now
mm-hmm.
we have this new and improved, like Trump 2.0, 3.0, whatever it is, we have it, that
mm-hmm.
comes out and gives
mm-hmm.
a weak water apology. That it wasn't really an apology. He said he had regret. Now,
mm-hmm.
all right. Can you you can have regrets, but that doesn't mean that you're sorry.
Yeah, he
right?
said he never said what he had regrets for. So it's as generic as it gets. I mean, I have regrets, but he never said what for. You know. So,
exactly. We all should have regrets. That does not mean that we are sorry. Okay.
Correct.
So
mm-hmm.
never apologize. And he is saying, just offended so many different families, the Gold Star family. He
mm-hmm.
offended our Hispanic friend, our brothers and sisters, our Muslim
mm-hmm.
brothers and sisters. He's offended judges. He even offended the Pope. He even had a argument with the Pope. So actually,
mm-hmm.
who is the regret towards, and what are you sorry for? You know, because I remember him saying that he will never apologize. He doesn't do anything to apologize for. Because remember when he said that he never asked for forgiveness, the whole thing came about with the Christian, and if he was
mm-hmm.
a Christian or not, and have you ever repented or asked for forgiveness? He said, well, I will never do anything to ask forgiveness for. Well, I mean,
what?
Where was that? Okay.
So I'm thinking maybe he was apologizing to the Trump University students. That would be my guess. If I had to guess, I'd say he's apologized to all the people that spent $20,000, $30,000, or $40,000 to go to Trump University and didn't learn anything. Maybe he's apologizing to them.
So he just needs to apologize to the Trump University students, or are you just saying that was directed to
him? I'm just saying, I'm guessing out of all the people you named, since they're the ones
mm-hmm.
he hit with the most money, maybe he's apologizing to them. I don't know. Maybe he's apologizing to black people that sued him at his Trump Towers in New York that wouldn't rent to black people. You know, so, I mean, there's so many people he could be apologizing to. I have no idea where we would start. But there's probably a list of 50 that I could think of without trying.
Right. Or is he apologizing to the New York, to the five young men that he put out money to have them convicted of rape, basically,
mm-hmm.
when basically they were innocent. Innocent.
He said he wanted the death penalty.
He said
he wanted the death penalty for him. Mm-hmm. Or maybe,
who the hell is he apologizing to?
Maybe he's apologizing to the special needs reporter that he was making fun of on stage.
I'm confused. Like I said, I don't know who the man is apologizing to, but
mm-hmm.
it definitely was not an apology. It wasn't an apology, it wasn't a regret.
Right.
It was a regret.
Right.
Because if you're heartful, if you're sorry, if I offended you, I'm going to have a different posture and a whole different tone. All right?
Right.
I'm not,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say I'm sorry. There's no, you
mm-hmm.
have to say I'm sorry, and you have to direct it to the person that you have offended. He hasn't
right.
directed anything. We don't even know.
Right.
It was just, it's out there in the universe. I guess it's up for grabs. Whoever want to grab a piece of it can grab a piece of this or whatever. Whatever you want to call it. You know, it's all
mm-hmm.
up there hanging up in the universe, you know. But
mm-hmm.
Then on top of that, on the heels, he he predicts. He says Donald Trump predicts that he will win 95% of the black vote when he's reelected in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
What the
That's
hell
what he
do you have to do? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all hear
mm-hmm.
me out
like
there? Come on in there, express
like
yourself.
Like
what
you're sure
the
with,
hell
said,
we have to do? You tell me,
we
people, what we got to lose.
Well, we can start with the Supreme Court. You know, like I said, you know, his nominees are horrendous. They're just his nominees are straight out racist. You know, so if nothing else, we need to keep him out just to keep him off the Supreme Court, keep him from nominating the next three or four replacements for the Supreme Court. So we can almost start it and end it right there. If you go to Google and Google his nominees, they're like really, really super right wing. They make Clarence Thomas look liberal.
Well, while we're working on that, okay, here it is. While we're working on that and talking about his Supreme Court nominees, let's just talk about how he addressed the black community. You said you're living in poverty, you have no job, 58% of your youth is unemployed. What
mm-hmm.
the hell do you have to do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
mm-hmm. He couldn't, all he had to do was say, you people. That's the only thing he had left to say. He might as well have said that because he was exceedingly disrespectful.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He was, so, I mean, somebody comes to you and they want something from you and they approach you in that manner. I don't know. That's just like, you know, somebody that want to come and take me out on a date and, you know, and call me a very offensive, say something offensive to me, like, really? Really?
I mean, we're not surprised he was disrespectful, are we?
Oh, no, we're not surprised about that. We're not surprised about this. But then again, now this is supposed to be the new 2.0. 2.0. This is supposed to be the new Trump 2.0, right?
I'm trying to get somebody to explain Asa Moore with her name. What's this girl's name? That black girl's name who's a Trump apologist? Asa.
Omarosa. Oh my goodness.
I want to hear from her, or get somebody to explain her for me because I'm still trying to figure her out.
Just like the pastor, just like Silk and Diamond, his two Trumpers, Trump girls, Omarosa is on his payroll. Let's just be honest with this whole thing. Omarosa has an allegiance to Trump. She's on his payroll. If anybody, we can say that Trump gave black folks jobs. We know that at least those four folks got jobs, okay? He gave them
mm-hmm.
jobs. But the question
what was Omarosa's job? That's what I'm trying to figure out, I guess.
She is supposed to be a coordinator to go into the black community and to stimulate interest of Donald Trump, African-American community. At this particular point, the polls show that Donald Trump has won 1% of the African-American vote. So that leaves, what, 99% left? He believes that he's going to get 95 by year 2020. But if, you know, to be reelected, but if you can't even get 1% in 2016, how the hell are you going to get 95 in 2020?
Well, the margin of error is 4%. So he might be negative 3% with the black community, for all we know.
Well, I'm sure he's about a negative 20 right now after you're living in poverty. You have no jobs. 58% of your youth is unemployed. So I'm pretty sure that he's at a negative 20% right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys call us up. We want to hear from you. And we want to hear what you have to say. All right. I have somebody on the line, and we're going to be able to express ourselves. You know, like we said, we all are here. We're just holding it down, and I want you to call in and tell me.
All right, this is express yourself.
Think.
Our message to the world this time is we're all God's children. So together we stand, divided we fall.
The number is 909-265-9195. Come on in and call in to express yourself. All right. Keith, let's talk about, let's go to that whole Marion Jones situation and the Ryan Lapchey. Okay. You know, before we even go to that, let's talk about the double standard that the whole, when you look at the Olympic Commission, there have been rules that have been set up, even with the Olympics, that seem just so unfair. I mean, one of them is the false start rule, where the runners, if they get a false start, they are eliminated from the game, and that's particularly reference track and field. I think that that rule right there is just totally horrible because, I mean, why not penalize somebody? I mean, it's so easy to false start. I mean, there have been, like, I believe at least three Olympic participants that have been eliminated from the game. But to be eliminated from the game, I mean, that's a little bit just beyond
beyond
the
pale.
Just beyond the pale. Yeah, thank you very much. Just too much. Too much. And now they were bashing poor Gabby Douglas because she did not salute the American flag. Well, what about, you know, I posted on, you know, Facebook, wait a minute, there were other Olympic gold medalists that didn't salute the American flag. One was basically Ryan Cruiser and Joe Cabot, the U.S. shot putters. They didn't put their hands over the American, over their hearts, saluting the American flag. And yet still, they bashed Gabby and called her everything from un-American, from everything from un-American. Except the child of God. You know what I mean? Let's talk about this double standard. Also, the double standard that exists, you know, with Ryan Lochte, who disgraced his country and offended the hosting country by lying about being robbed at gunpoint to cover his reckless behavior. Here's Marion Jones, if you remember her. Goodness, she was Olympic gold medalist, former world champion track, and former professional basketball player. In the summer 2000 Olympics, she was in Australia. She was stripped of her title for admitting steroid use. Should Ryan Lochte be arrested? Should he be arrested? Let's just talk about that. What should they take away his medal?
Well, you have different jurisdictions. You have the legal department or either the administration where, yes, it's a crime in Brazil and it's a crime in America to fill out a false police report, which is exactly what he did. You know, then you have the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, that can respond or not respond however way they see fit. And it just seems odd that they always see fit to extend the harshest, most unforgiving penalties to people with melanin in their skin, and they always seem to turn an eye like boys will be boys when it's people of European descent. But I think that we, as a people, African Americans, we have to deal with that not just there. We have to deal with that with getting shot in the street by police and the police getting off scot-free with a tape of them murdering us. We got to deal with the fact that we suffer poverty, we suffer job discrimination. My whole thing on a 100,000 foot view, Alicia, is that we can solve all this if individually we agree to learn, and in our community we agree to organize. But that's the mission that God has given us, especially we call ourselves Christians, because I know what our mission is supposed to be. But if we don't continually learn as individuals and continually organize as communities, this is the price we pay. And I believe it's a spiritual price. I don't think it has anything to do with this carnal world. I believe that God has given his Christian people an assignment. He calls it a cross to bear, whatever you want to call it. We have a work to do. And for the most part, those of us who have been blessed of God take the blessings and never do the work. Never. I'm starting with the churches and the ministers. Never get to work them. So we go through all this, whether it's the Olympics or the police or just poverty, you know, or just disrespect in the movies even. I was in the movies last night and felt disrespected. So we're disrespected all over because our individuals don't continue to learn and our communities don't continue to organize. When we do those two things, we will be the most powerful, most envied, most successful, most happy people that have ever touched this God's green earth with human feet. If we don't do it, it's going to be more the same.
All right. Well, look, we're going to go to the lines, and we're going to see if there's anybody out there that would like to express themselves. And we're going to go to the 215 area code. Hello, you're on the Alicia Live Radio Show. Who do I have?
This is Rob Bell.
Hey, Rob, how you doing, brother?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I see that you're in the chat room. I guess, you know, we were talking about the whole double standards with the Olympics, but I know that you definitely are a brother with a lot to say there, and you said that there's always going to be a double standard when it comes to African Americans achieving the next level on every level. All right, Rob, go ahead on. Express yourself, brother.
I don't even want to say it seems. It is. Anytime we as African Americans achieve on the next level and we try to get to the next plateau, we are always going to be criticized and double standard and double checked for any and everything that we do. It's always been like that. And I don't really see it changing in the future. When it comes to an event like the Olympics, as you can see, people of color dominated in just about every field in the Olympics, and not just from the United States, but just people of color, period. And so when you talk about an international event that's being televised throughout the world and the media, the mainstream media being predominantly white and broadcasting to folks across the world, and a good portion of those folks are non-people of color, it's difficult for them to see us achieve in the way that we do. And so any and every little thing that we do is going to be criticized. I mean, what does Gabby's hair have to do with anything? What does, you know, how they took the event from those brothers in that race for a FUPA? Things like that are going to happen. But when it comes to this Brian Lee guy who just outright lied every other way that they possibly could to make it seem like he didn't lie, you know, you got to be a fool to try to believe that he just did not write a lie. You asked earlier, should they take his medals away? Yeah, they should take his medals away. They took Marion Jones' medals away. They should take his medals away. Should he be arrested? Yeah, he should be arrested because he falsely reported an incident to law enforcement. And in this country, when you do that, you go to jail, especially if you're African-American.
Exactly.
So why should he get a pass just because his skin color is different? Why should he get a pass because he comes from a privileged situation, maybe different than other people? He lied to the world, not just to the news, but to the world. And they are trying to twist this in every other way that they can to make it seem like he didn't do it. I even heard somebody say, oh, they're just young. They don't know what they were doing. It happens with young people. Why are we making a big deal out of this? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? It is a big deal. They should make a big deal out of it. And the brother, mm-hmm. his name slips me, that does the weather on NBC, outright said that he lied. And they tried to, you know, twist his words up. And he said, no, I don't want to hear it. He just straight up lied. And so, yeah, when it comes to us, there's always going to be a double standard because no matter what happens in this world, and especially in this country, people are in denial when it comes to racism. Racism is alive and well in America. And, you know, on every side, like your brother said earlier, not just in the Olympics, in our community, when it comes to the police, when it comes to housing, when it comes to loans, when it comes to anything that we try to do, try to get ahead, we always get a double standard. So, yeah, I agree with that. It's horrible.
Well, you know what? I think that basically that it's not going to get the attention unless, you know, we keep on putting it out there on social media and we keep forcing mainstream media to kind of like to keep it in the cycle and force, you know, and kind of bring it to the light of the Olympic Committee, and I do believe that his medal should be taken away. There's no way that Marion Jones' medal should be taken away when she confessed, when she came out and she was truthful, and when she, you know, and everything that she did, it was basically something, a bad behavior, that a choice, a bad behavior that was about her. But this was an international incident. You lied on residents of your hosting country to the whole world to make Brazil. I mean, to me, that was an international incident. It wasn't
absolutely
just reckless behavior, I mean, or a bad choice. You know, there was a big difference here.
Right. He committed a crime. Let's face it. He falsely reported an incident, a serious crime, a serious incident. Not only did Marion Jones' medals get taken away, she went to jail. She was separated from
her family. She did.
You know what the judge said?
When he sentenced her, he said, well, athletes, they influence so many people. They're held to a higher standard. So we have to send you to jail and separate you from your family because we have to set the example that athletes can't do the same thing that other people could do. That's what he said. Brother was referring to Al Roker
Al Roker. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Al Roker.
But that judge that sent her to jail said that athletes are held to a higher standard. So let's see if they hold Lochte to a higher standard or if they let him go.
That's right. If that's the case, then he should be
absolutely
held to a higher standard.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Here's another little tidbit that we want to talk about here. All right, we've all been waiting for Trump to release his taxes. Hillary released hers. Well, news article. Trump companies have at least $650 million in debt, and one of their lenders is the Bank of China. All right?
Yep.
And
yep.
Based on a bombshell investigation showing his real estate empire has at least $650 million in debt, okay, you know, he has filed bankruptcy. Almost all of his hotels are bankrupt. But yet still, we have folks that support this man that wants to put him in charge of Americans' financial matters.
You know, the sad part about that whole situation is this. And unfortunately, it occurs in the black community as well. There are just some people who just take a blind eye to certain things and hear and see what they want to see and hear what they want to hear. And they just erase the things that they think doesn't really make a difference. Now, there are folk out here like myself and obviously you who want to see Trump release his taxes, because we all know that there's so many discrepancies in those taxes, and there are so many things that probably go against the things that he's been talking about and campaigning about that he doesn't want to, you know, put his hand out there. So that's why he's withholding them. But, you know, just like in our community, you know, we, like you said earlier, we should continue to kind of pound the media and force them to make sure that, you know, things that happen to African Americans don't happen. There are black people out here just that just going about their business every day and kind of forget about the things that happen to us on a daily basis. You know, one of the things that I wrote on Facebook the other day was, you know, with all the distractions of Trump and Hillary and, you know, this $400 million being sent over to Iran and the media constantly pumping that into the news and down our throats every day.
Right.
We forgot about
right.
the fact that Chicago cops shot a black man a couple of weeks ago in the back. We forgot about the fact that a black man was killed by the police in Louisiana.
Right.
We forgot about the fact that a black man was killed in Minnesota by the police. We forgot about the fact that the Department of Justice did an investigation on the Baltimore Police Department and found so many discrepancies regarding the ill will of the black community that, you know, folks in Baltimore are being basically tortured by the police, and it came after the fact that six police officers were not even charged for the killing of Freddie Gray's death. Those things have disappeared, and we as African Americans just going about our business as if they never really happened. And nobody's even talking about that anymore. So we have this kind of apathetic attitude when it comes to certain things. Well, when you talk about Donald Trump, we have people on his side that have apathetic attitudes when it comes to things like him releasing his taxes, because, you know, all they really are concerned about is getting President Obama out of office, and they're mad because he's been in there for 8 years, and they want to put a cuckoo like Donald Trump in the office as, you know, as revenge for us voting an African-American into office for 8 years. They could care less about the details of what kind of nut this guy is, as opposed to just getting him in office just to say they got somebody in there that kind of feel the same way that they do about, quote-unquote, making America great again. And that's why...
Well, you're 100% right, and it's a whole lot of them. It might even be 45-48% of them, but it ain't 51%, so they're not going to be successful in that, because blacks are voting. That's the one thing we do together, and we prevail. We do presidential politics together, and we prevail. The other problems that we're having, like you mentioned Baltimore, they just did the same thing in Chicago. Same kind of report came back. They just did the same thing in Ferguson. Matter of fact, I defy you to tell me one city that the Justice Department has investigated that did not come back with a scathing report on how the police treat blacks. And the point that I'm going to try to drive home on this radio show tonight is blacks have a responsibility. And when we honor our responsibility to learn as individuals and organize as communities, we will be the greatest. We will have all these problems. We won't have poverty in our community if we ever do that. But as long as those of us who God has blessed, myself included, and we're selfish as hell, and we don't organize, and we don't, as a community, and don't learn as individuals, we're going to go through this and worse. Donald Trump is really a warning shot from God saying, listen, if y'all don't stop playing, this next time it's going to work. I'm trying to wake you up and get you to go ahead and do what you got to do. Organize as communities. There's no excuse for no black man or woman above 16 years old not being active in the organization to advance the interests of our people. None whatsoever.
Right.
And there's no excuse for us not to be continually honoring our history, like Exodus 20:12 says. If we do those things, we will be blessed amongst the best, matter of fact, better than the rest. And if we don't, we're going to have hell to pay. So
I absolutely agree.
Okay.
That's why
I agree on that too. But I just want to interject one thing. When we were, and let's not forget Black Wall Street, when we did organize, when we were, you know, recycling black dollars back into the community, What happened?
Okay, let me answer that. First of all, let me answer that because I wrote a book on that very subject called The Power and the Glory. We had the economic wherewithal a la Booker T. Washington, which has been discredited over and over again. The whole civil rights movement was a decrying of Booker T. Washington's foolishness. We did not have the political wherewithal to protect our gains. So what we're trying for is called peace. I mentioned last time on your show, peace means political, economic, academic, and cultural excellence. If you have the political wherewithal, then you have economic wherewithal, nobody can come and take it over. So we had done it before, but we didn't have the political wherewithal. Because at that time, it was 1921, you had people, our leaders like Booker T. Washington talk about don't worry about politics. And you still got ministers talking about don't worry about politics, which is ridiculous.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's really just walking and talking. And any minister that would say don't worry about politics needs to be put out of the pulpit. So we have to go to politics, we have to go to economics, we have to go to academics, we have to go to culture, and we have to be excellent. And at that point, we will be an example to the world. And quite frankly, I believe we'll go a long way to helping the world. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. And because we're not doing it, because all we want to do right now is imitate white folks, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about the ones of us who God has blessed. We, and because our not doing it is causing these problems that we're having. Praise God that the one time we do come together, which is presidential politics, we prevail in the most racist nation in the history of mankind. That ought to tell us something.
Absolutely. I agree with you, brother, 100%.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Well,
but we have to continually educate ourselves, and it shows like this, Alicia, that you have on a weekly basis.
That's right.
The videos that I put out every day or every other day that make an attempt to try to educate our people about the social ills that are going on in our communities and how we can make improvements. But, you know, it's like the old...
What are your videos,
said.
Bro? What are your videos?
Well,
I'd like to know so I can look them up.
Yeah, I do a show called Rob's Rant on YouTube. It's called The
how
Rob's
you spell
Rant
that?
Show.
R-O-B-S?
Possibly S-R-A-N-T.
All right,
Bob, can you do me a favor? Can you post your videos on the Alicia Live page so that we can all share and definitely get those out there? Definitely. Let's share this information.
Yeah, I can post the link on your page. And I'll get it out every day. And what I do is I take subjects that occur almost on a daily basis and try to educate the public about what we as a community, especially the African American community, need to be doing about this stuff.
Right.
You know, I just want people to listen. They're not long. They're between 3 and 7 minutes long every day. But very informative and give people an opportunity to educate themselves about that. And believe it or not, I don't get a whole lot of views on it. You know, I get between 10 and maybe 30 views at best, and you know,
right.
I constantly put videos up. I mean, that's not going to deter me from doing what I do because it's my way of trying to educate
right.
my community on social media. I just think social
right.
media is not being used by us in a way that it should be because it's probably one of the most powerful mediums that we have, and me. Having a company called 906 Multimedia, I use the media all the time, as Alicia knows.
Okay.
And so all the information that I produce is about trying to make the improvements in our community, and I applaud anybody else who does that. You know, I was on earlier, and Alicia asked me to come on tonight, so that's why I'm on, because I wanted
mm-hmm.
to be a
mm-hmm.
part of discussion about whatever it was, and
mm-hmm.
sure – you know, the discussion was going to be something of a positive nature, and I try to get involved in as many and as much of that as I possibly can, but just not for myself, but for other people as well. And
sure,
that's where,
sure.
That's,
right.
And that's where your acronym comes into play. If people would just follow an acronym like that, I'm in agreement with you. Not only would
okay.
we be all be in better shape as a people, we could probably help some other people. You know,
okay.
But
well, I'd like to talk to you online, man. Put you on my website too.
Okay.
Well, definitely. Why you two? I want you guys. Yeah, definitely connect with each other. Inbox on Facebook, because definitely Rob was on the show. Kit, I don't know if you were on the same show. I think you were on the follow-up show. But Rob did the show that I did, Police Brutality in America. And actually, he really gave us some wonderful insight, being that he is a former law enforcement officer. We talked about the whole gambit and, you know, a perception that these police officers have when they come into the black community and not being from the black community, which is a big problem. So we had, a very, very enlightening discussion. I know that he's a very positive person. He's doing some wonderful stuff, like he said, out in the community. We met on the set of a movie I was doing some background work in. And, I'm telling you, we have so many folks that are in the trenches that don't get the recognition because we're not mainstream. We're internet. We're holding it down within our community. Look at yourself. Look at you, yourself, Keith. You're out there in the trenches. This brother Rob, he's a founding member. Is that right? MFSB. You know, he's Philadelphia International. Brother Keith Benson. You know, he is one of the architects of the Philadelphia Sound. You know, so there's so much history here.
The Department of Justice just said they made an announcement that they were going to start to shut down these proper prisons that we have out here. And somewhat of a discussion about that. And it's funny that they are moving in that direction, because I just did a documentary on private prisons. And that's also posted on my page called Unjust. Because I used to work in a private prison. I worked there for almost 3 years. And I just couldn't take it anymore, and I just left. But when I left, I did a documentary on the unjust treatment of the inmates and the workers in a private prison, and talked about, you know, at the end of the day, all it was about was profiteering, you know. And now the department is moving towards eliminating all private prisons in the federal prison system, which is great. So it made me feel good that I was time in that. And trying to expose, you know, some of the unjust situations that are going on in the private prisons, and you know, 95% of the men that are in private prisons are men of color, you know, Latino and African American, being disenfranchised by the prisons, and they're making money off the backs of these brothers. So, like you said, there's a lot of us out here, man, doing a lot of grassroots stuff. But, you know, we are not getting it out to the mainstream. And, you know, we got to keep pushing forward so we can get our message out.
But I'm going to tell you something. It's not so much, and I know this for a fact. We're putting it out on social media, okay? But don't you think that they don't peep us? Don't you think for 1 minute that they don't keep us? Because I know I have folks that come into the chat room and come that logs in on the show, and they're listening to what we have to say, but because they have a big platform, they can go back out and repeat it and get the information out and spin it the way they want to spin it. But believe me, not just mine, but yours and other grassroots media outlets, don't discount them, because the mainstreams do come up there and piece them to get their stories too.
To get ideas.
It's a definite. Yeah, to get their ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just that we don't have that platform to get out there. But like all I can say is keep pushing. Rob, you know, I'll do whatever I can to go ahead on. You just put it whatever you want, carte blanche, you know. Load your videos up on the Alicia Live Show page, and we'll start something. We'll start circulating together. Like I said, the internet has made the round world flat, so that we can actually get out there and get the message across. Because that's today's internet. Because of the internet, just like back in the civil rights movement, their internet was the television. Because hadn't it been for television, I don't believe we would have really had a civil rights movement, because what it did, it put them on front and center. And
it
just
sure
like
did.
With social media, now, it's putting everything on front and center, all of the injustices that are going on, front and center for the world to see. Now, another news story. Okay. Police murders father of a daughter that was hit by a cop. The cop is speeding down on his bike, hits a little girl, rips off part of her face. The dad gets mad, and the cop ends up killing him. I just posted that on my page for those that want to go out and check the story out. What's going on? Let's just talk. I mean, right now, it like you alluded to, like you said before, not alluded, but like you said before, we've seen these six cops get off scot-free in the death of Freddie Gray. The man is dead, so somebody's responsible. He didn't just, you know, that just did not happen.
Sandra Bland.
Well, the woman is dead. What happened?
One of the things that I've been saying for weeks is that until you indict and lock some of these cops up for murder, for killing some of these people, it's going to be very difficult for anything to happen to these cops. If you look at the history of police officers who have killed, especially white police officers who have killed black men, very few, if any, have gone to jail and have done any time for it. Most of these police officers have been exonerated, and they walk away scot-free. And so,
with $1 million. With $1 million on GoFundMe.
That's right. So a lot of these police officers, in their minds, they hide behind this whole blue wall. And I know about it. I was a part of it. And, you know, police officers don't tell on police officers. Prosecutors don't prosecute police officers. And that's why they wanted to vilify this young lady in Baltimore as a prosecutor, because she brought these indictments on these six police officers. And they looked at her like, and what are you doing? And when they walked, when the judge let them walk scot-free, they had a nerve to want to take away her law license for doing that. And just as they were attempting to do that, the Department of Justice report came out and talked about the lawlessness of the Baltimore Police Department, and that in and of itself kind of saved her from losing her law degree, because she had a nerve to want to prosecute.
Yeah, they tried to sue her. They sued her.
Yeah, they tried to sue her. And so that's going to go down the wayside. But, you know, getting back to my original thing, somebody's going to have to lock these cops up for doing what they do, because that just doesn't happen. It's almost impossible.
Or we will get more Dallas and more Baton Rouges. Because, brother, they will keep just having people getting shot. They're not going to do anything. You know, that's not going to happen. They either going to lock them up, they will keep getting shot up.
That's right. And I got to tell you, black people ain't going to continue to stand for this. They're going to start really
shooting back,
burning these cities down. And then it's going to get real, real ugly. And, you know, God forbid we move to a point to where it becomes, you know, a serious issue when it comes to race relations in all of these cities around the United States. And if this thing snowballs, it's going to be real ugly in this country. And if we get a guy like Donald Trump in office,
But don't you think that's where we're at now? I just feel that we're there. I mean, it's just like, this thing has spilled over on in every facet. I mean, in the workplace, it has spilled over. In schools, it has spilled over. It has spilled over. This whole issue of race in America, where we think that because we had an African-American president that we have arrived, I believe it has gotten worse since Obama was in office for the mere fact that folks were, like you said, real mad. They were mad. They were mad.
Yeah. And it's gonna get worse. It's gonna get worse after this, you know. And when I say it's gonna get worse, we haven't really gotten to the point where we collectively have started to do some really nasty things around the city. Sure, we protested. We've done the Black Lives Matter thing. But can you imagine what it would be like if it got a little beyond that and what happened in Los Angeles and what happened in Ferguson? If in every major city in the United States that happened simultaneously,
they still don't have enough. There's not enough law enforcement to stop that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And if they continue to let these cops murder these people and not doing anything about it, it's going to get to that, and we're going to be living in some really ugly times. And God forbid that happens.
Yeah. Definitely. God forbid any of that should happen. You know, it's just, you know, I mean, we're just at an ugly, ugly place in America. And when you have folks like Donald Trump that's inciting stuff like this, you know, I saw a picture, I'm going to post that too. It's a Confederate flag that says Trump 216. You have these backwoods, I'm not going to bite my tongue, ignorant. Okay,
what?
Walmart shopping, okay, and nothing against Walmart, but I mean, just let me just put it to you. These folks that are out there supporting Trump, he doesn't care a flying flop about, he doesn't care about you. Listen to what I'm saying. He only your vote. He doesn't care if you came up to him and said, I voted for you, and, you know, hey, can you help me out? He would like you, ask you like you're crazy. He does not care about low-class, middle-class white folks. He doesn't. He only cares about his kind. His kind. And that's the illusion. And I don't know, and you know, it's beyond me how this man can say all this when you've got these crazy folks out there supporting him and 1% of us. 1% African American, which is the Omarosas and, you know, and the Diamond and Silk. I don't know. I just can't, I don't get it beyond, you know. And I know that Hillary, you know, she has her issue. And, you know, I'm not even going to go there, but we all know the issues that Hillary have. But I can't get beyond the burning of
what are Hillary's issues? What are Hillary's issues?
Well, I'm saying that her issues are basically where folks don't really mistrust her. I'm a Hillary supporter. You know what I mean? And I got tired of hearing folks saying, well, she's the lesser of two evils. It's not about the lesser of two evils. It's about who has the most experience and who is more presidential, who is best to lead this country. And in my opinion, I say it's Hillary. It's definitely not Trump.
Well, let me speak to that. First of all, I was a Bernie Sanders man. I was sweatshirt wearing truck driver, and I drove those vehicles around and said Black Men for Bernie, feet marching all up in New York and Manhattan, what have you. Did everything I could for him. But when he didn't make it, you see what I'm saying? To me, it's fair and square because he was not a Democrat, so the Democrats were gracious to let him in. And yeah, they're gonna put their thumb on the scale.
Exactly.
So would I. If it was my family member and he was running against them, it wasn't a family member. If the other guy beat me, he beat me. But I'm going to put my thumb on the scale to help my guy out. So I'm not even mad for that. The fact of the matter is, after coming back and say, okay, it's Hillary Clinton, let me take a good look at her. This lady has been under the white hot heat of scrutiny for 40 years. And though she hasn't been perfect, she's a politician, no different than Lyndon Baines Johnson. If the best you can come up with in 40 years is Benghazi and some damn emails, I am very comfortable voting her in office. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Especially when the alternative is Donald Trump. And to me, it's asinine to even have a discussion. And in fact, for the most part, I won't have a discussion. Somebody's so stupid, they can't see Hillary Clinton, who's just a politician, and Donald Trump, who's a damn racist, who will take your behind out of here if he can. If they can't see that difference, they're too far away from me to try to discuss anything with them. It's like trying to discuss calculus with somebody who doesn't know their times table, and I'm not going to do it. You see what I'm saying?
But the thing about 40 this years, is that you have the Bernie or bust people. There are still some Bernie or bust people out there.
They're
and you
idiots.
Know it.
They're
and
idiots.
You know,
and let them call
and
in.
I have
and let them call in. I will tell them they're idiots. I'm saying the burning of us
people
again. No.
Well, let me finish
now.
That say, and I do agree with you, they are idiots, but to say that they will vote for somebody like a Jill Stein who has 3% of the vote, a snowball's chance in hell of winning anything, it's just, to me, is a vote for Trump. People are,
it
you
is.
Know, I mean, yeah, Bernie voted for the crime bill. He voted for the crime bill as well. Come on.
So did the rest of the Black Caucus.
Exactly. We all look at drugs in our neighborhood. We all look at the war on crime, but it wasn't. I mean, the war on crime was. We can go back to the Reagan era. That's when the war on crime came about. We didn't know what Nancy Reagan, but I'm pretty sure that there are stems of it that even go further back than that. But the thing about
Johnson
it is,
Johnson started the conversation. Nixon brought it in, and Reagan put it on steroids. And the Clintons went out of control with it. But it started all the way back to Lyndon Johnson in 68 when Martin was still alive. So,
exactly.
When he said, yeah, so they can't blame any one person like it's just the Clintons. That's stupid. Not to mention the fact that it's not so much Hillary I trust. I trust the people around her. I trust Elizabeth Warren. I trust Bernie Sanders. I trust Barack Obama. I trust Kane. Tim Kane is a good guy.
Right.
If she got all these good people around her, you would just be a damn fool to let somebody like a Trump get in, because you got a point that you're not going to make that you're trying to make. So.
Exactly. You know, I feel the same way as well. You know what I mean? But, hey, I mean, there people are out there. People are they're angry and they're upset. You know what I mean? But I just don't want them to be a fool. And I just hope that they understand that just like how with 2001, when the election in Florida escaped my mind, but when the vice president Dan Gore was running
Al
against
Gore.
Bush, but yeah, Ralph Nader. Thank you. With
Ralph
Nader, who was the spoiler in that election. Because he separated the vote. If Gore would have got the vote that Nader got, we would have had him instead of Bush. We may have not had an Iraq.
And guess what? We would not have had a black president. So God works things out the way it's supposed to be. Had we went right to somebody like Al Gore, we wouldn't have had Iraq.
Well, why do you feel as though we wouldn't have had a black president? Why?
Because the only reason they voted for a black president is because they were so disgusted by George W. Bush's complete and total incompetence. We had gone into a economic depression, and the nation was terrified. So they said, okay, I will take a chance and vote a black man in, because the nation was at such dire straits. Had it just been a small recession, they don't think about putting no black man in. So I'm saying that we had to go to an idiot like George Bush to convince white people to go ahead and vote for a black man. So I'm saying things worked out like they were supposed to, and I'm happy George W. got in there, because that allowed my eyes to see a black man in the presidential office, which is a game changer if understood and used properly. So we have to understand it properly by analyzing it and using it properly, as opposed to sitting on our behinds watching Scandal and watch that insult us, and watching Empire and let that insult us and degrade us without our even knowing it. You know.
Right.
All right. Final thought, right, gentlemen. Of the Obama legacy. What is the Obama legacy? Rob, I'm going to go to you first. Hey, Rob, you still there with us?
I'm still there.
The Obama legacy.
That's a tough one for me. I think in some regards, you know, he did some good things with healthcare. He did some good things to rectify the economy to some degree. You know, he did some good things with some of the other legislation that he did. But then on the other side, what I'm personally a little disappointed in is the fact that in the 8 years that he was in office, there are some issues in the African-American community that I think he was afraid to tackle, because I think that he didn't want to be looked at as the black president who helped the black people. And so as a result, he stayed away from some of those issues. He dealt with some of the issues in the gay community. He dealt with some of the issues in some of the other communities. But when it came to in the Latino community, when it came to the African American community, he kind of stayed away from it. So his legacy, I think, will be on the positive side. But I think there could have been some more things that he could have done for us as African Americans in our community. And I don't know whether we'll get an opportunity to have another African American president in my lifetime. So I give him a plus. And, you know, obviously it was a historical event to have the first black president in the United States. But there were some things that he could have been done better.
Okay. All right, Keith.
Well, I'm gonna come from a historical perspective. So, you gotta compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges. If I'm gonna look at Barack Obama, I'm gonna compare him to the 43 presidents before him, and I'm gonna say unequivocally, statistically, if you measure greatness by positive benefit on the society, there are only five that are in his category: Abraham Lincoln, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Lyndon Baines Johnson, maybe Kennedy, and Barack Obama. I could not be more proud of him. I think his legacy is beyond spiritual. You can't look at him, even though I compare him to the five, you can't ignore the fact that he had something against him that the other four did not. He was a black man in a completely hostile, racist Congress, and he still got things done. Now, was he going to be the savior and be the one man that fixes the whole world for black people? And I know the brother Rob wasn't saying that. You know, I'm sorry, brother Rob wasn't saying that, but I'm saying a lot of people do think that. He could not do that. He could not take systems that took 300 years to come in place and come in and dismantle it. Was he a net positive so far that I can't even see? He raised the possibilities for our children. Now, I tell my young people that I teach, Barack Obama is the flag. He's not the army. He's the flag. So our flag got planted. Now, army man, what are you doing? You see what I'm saying? If we got the flag planted on that territory, the army got to come in and take control of the land. Our army did not fail. Barack Obama did what he was supposed to do. First of all, he did something I never thought possible. So I'm amazed that he could only not only think it, but have the faith to do it, mount it, and get it done. He is a stunning accomplishment, a stunning achievement, and one more in the pantheon of X, Douglas, King, and now Barack Obama. I could not be happier, and we could talk about this. I'd like to do a whole show on the legacy of good brother Barack Obama, Dr. Cornel West notwithstanding, who I also love. But I think Barack Obama was stunning in his effectiveness, and I do think that the Army, us, was slack, not him. So that's my thinking.
Well, you know, as always, it's been enlightening. I do want to thank, you know, Rob for calling in and just on the call. Rob was commenting on one of the posts that I put out, that people are still going strong on. And you know, I like to have the conversation. And like I said, Rob, I just posted your channel 906, the Rob's Rant, on the Alicia Live Show page. Definitely, brother, go ahead on and post that on there, and we will definitely try to make folks to raise awareness around what you're doing. And you know, the same thing, Keith. I want to thank you for being on the show. Always, you always come with knowledge. And I do believe that, like you said, it goes back to knowing our history and knowing where we come from, and specifically so we can define where we're going. And if that's all a part of it, everybody get out, vote, okay?
Yes.
I'm not going to say anything else beyond that, but you know what you need to do. I don't want to wake up in the morning and find out that Trump is president the day after Election Day. And definitely, you two got, I'm going to put you know what, we're going to go in the green room, and I'm going to have you guys exchange information after the show. So you guys hang on. Let me just go ahead on and sign out, and then we're going to do that. So I want to thank you for calling in. I want to thank both of my guests for being on the show. And I want to thank you guys for calling in and expressing yourself or through the chat, through the Facebook post, on Twitter. I see you guys are still going strong on that one. Do your thing. Go out and express yourself. Okay, until we see you on the next edition live radio show, I'm creating the sun's smiling down on you, and the wind is at your back. Have a wonderful day and continue to express yourself. All right, what's going on there? All right.